The parallel economy has empowered us to care for our health, well-being, as well as longevity. Likewise, for us pet parents who now have a place to go when it comes to keeping the family dogs, cats, even horses in the best shape possible. As a dog dad, I'm thrilled to be working with Pet Club 24/7, a company founded by two guys who lost dogs to serious conditions, including cancer. Pet Club 24/7 has an incredible array of products, including a line of supplements for humans, such as the Inforce Plus Corollius Versicolor and Inforce Corollius Versicolor with Reishi. My friend and colleague, Christina Ferrari, a cancer survivor herself, swears by it.
When I was diagnosed, the doctor in the emergency room told me, "You have 2 years to live."
Oh boy.
Along with the stem cell, I took these. I have been in remission for 8 years now.
For dogs, mush puppy treats are a fan favorite. Rex, you want to? Oh boy. He came right. Oh, there he is. They are also made with the Coriolis versicolor mushroom, which supports their immune system, according to hundreds of clinical studies. Here's Kristen Ludlow, National Vice President.
That strain does matter. We do have the most potent strain, and we also extract it in a proprietary way. And that's why we've been having such wonderful experiences with these products.
Mush puppies are made here in the U.S. There are no fillers. It's non-addicting. Your dog can't accidentally overdose. Go to drdrew.com/petclub247 for a discount off the list price. That is drdrew.com. PETCLUB 247, Pet Club 247.
Welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, a place where Susan can introduce to you psychics, clairvoyance, past lives, and paranormal experiences. Now, here's your host, Susan Pinsky.
Welcome back to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Today we're live on Facebook and facebook.com/Susan Sailor Pinsky. I'd like to get right into today's show. I have psychic mediums Rebecca Fearing, Jennifer Schaefer, and in about 40 minutes we'll be bringing Melissa Cabillas in from New York for a 20-minute reading with some special guests who are part of an unsolved mystery death. And they've been in search of the truth for decades. These forensic psychic mediums, Jennifer and Rebecca and Melissa, know nothing about the case. They're kind of in the dark. I hear a weird sound in the background, but
Somebody said hello.
Mm-hmm. I know. I don't know if that was our guest. I don't think it was, but somebody's trying to come through. And I just want to tell you that there's no information given in advance, and we want to hear your comments on Facebook. So just go ahead and I'll be keeping an eye on it. I thank you very much, Lana, for coming to the broadcast. We're here with Rebecca and Jennifer right now, and I'd like you to say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
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 And then we also have somebody on the line named Dylan who will be coming in a little bit later. We're focusing more on Lana in the beginning of this show. Hi, Dylan. Welcome to Calling Out.
Good to be with you. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have an Australian voice in the in the mix. So I have to say that we've been setting up here and we had some really weird sounds coming through the mics already. This is a really strong spirit, I think. But I think I'm going to let the two of you, Jen and Rebecca, kind of get started, do what you do. I want to spend as much time as we can getting into this. I'd like you to look more into, like, you know, maybe, well, just do what you do. I'm not going to say anything yet. I'll just let you go. Who wants to start?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll start.
Who's going to start?
Okay. So can you focus in on Lana?
Was that you?
That was Lana. That was Lana.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm Rebecca. So I'm going to start. I feel the female, she wants to have a voice that she hasn't had since the day she passed away. She has a lot to say, a lot of conversation. When you heard a voice come through the microphone, I'm sure your listeners heard hello from a female. I don't think that it was the person, though, that we're talking about. It was a different person for sure. The voice was a little bit older. So my take is when the person died, I don't think they were 15, but they were youngish still, very beautiful and vibrant. And Lana, can I ask you a question? Do you have the jewelry of this person? She keeps giving me her jewelry or a piece of jewelry to give you.
I really don't.
Well,
it's I think I did, but I don't anymore.
Right, because she keeps saying she gave you some jewelry, and I wonder if you're going to come upon it. Don't be surprised. It could be tucked away somewhere. And okay. She also is talking about, does this make any sense to you, Westwood? Westwood. She keeps talking about Westwood Cemetery. She showed me her headstone. I looked down at it. And, and she told me to tell you that she liked where she's interned at that. It's very pleasant. She's not there, of course, but it's beautiful. Oh. And she kept bringing me deep black seawater.
Yes.
Is this Natalie Wood?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. She's been coming to me for the last hour. She told me to tell you hello, hello, hello. she tells me to tell you. You know, she's funny as all get up.
She's really funny,
and she's extremely smart.
Yeah. Yes, very.
Really, I don't think people know how smart she is. She's something else. Okay,
not enough.
Yeah, and she has tried to communicate over and over and over again. But you know what? This is the case. She had a big, gigantic bruise on her head. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
Yeah, and she hit it on the way down into the water. And she had told me that she slapped her, I don't know, she was like hitting things on the way and then just into the water. And she's been trying to communicate with you for a long time. Jennifer, do you have anything on Natalie?
I do. I actually have something that dealt with clothes or something that was found somewhere else that had either DNA on it. Felt like an article of clothing.
There was clothing. Yeah, I don't know if anybody has checked any for DNA. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know how that could even work, but with the water situation, I felt like something was found of hers at a different place than where she was supposedly drowned. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay,
yes.
And they're now researching it, or they're now looking at it as a possibility that it didn't happen the way that it was told. And I don't know much about, I don't know any, actually, I only know that she drowned. I do know
that's
that.
That's all correct, though. What you've said is all correct.
Okay. And there's somebody that came in, either a police officer or an investigator that came in recently, and I got July. Is there something with July with this case? And it happened to be because of something that happened last November?
Yes.
Okay. And so they're now doing something, and I feel like there's a huge part of it that deals with January. So I don't know if they're and I don't know if I was told this. I don't know. But what I'm getting is that they have – so I just saw nails. I saw clippings under nails. So I don't know if that means DNA, that they have new evidence, correct?
Yes, they do. Yes.
Okay. Correct. And so I'm also getting that someone came forward and said something because I don't know if they were not – they thought they weren't going to be around very long or they thought they were going to pass away. But they needed their guilt conscience, like, made them say something about what happened.
Yes, they have new witness, yes.
Okay. And that witness, that was back in July?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was something that also came about that dealt with the neck. I don't know if there was new evidence with the – I don't know if I got something with the neck. I don't –
Natalie's actually coming through the microphone. I don't know if you guys just heard her. And she said something about the car. I don't know where her car was parked or what she was trying
it's
to get to the car.
It's different than her time of death. There's something so way off from what happened.
Well, she might have been trying to get to her car. I don't know exactly what she said, but she definitely said car.
Okay.
So I don't know who checked the car after what happened or why she's trying to go there. So I don't know if you've checked the car or had anything to do with that vehicle since she passed or when she passed. But she did say that.
There was something on a note, a time.
Yeah.
Like a time or a date that might have been put into evidence. Does that make sense to you?
There is evidence that I'm not aware of. So, yes, it could. Absolutely.
It felt like a time or a date of where she was supposed to be.
Ah.
And it didn't match up to where she was.
Yeah. Okay. Now it makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. So can you see how she passed?
She, and you know, I mean, this is what I see. She's in this big, heavy, I don't know if it's rust color, kind of like I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like heavy. So when she went down and she smacked her head, she seemed to like lose her equilibrium. And then that seemed to me that rust down feathered jacket was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and everything's going blurry and blank and the boat's slapping around. So I feel like there's no way, nobody's going for her. Nobody's going out to get her. Nobody's helping her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my version. I don't know, but that's what I'm like. Nobody's going to get her.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely accurate.
And yes. I'm also getting the throat and getting somebody mm-hmm. behind. So I don't know if she passed out and that's why she hit the ground. I don't want to, I don't really want to say all this stuff. I had
that's
no idea.
Okay, say what
but,
it is.
Okay, so I'm getting the throat. There was something with the throat. I'm also getting that the same thing that you got. I got the visual of her going, but I'm also mm-hmm. getting her. There's timing that is off of where she was and where she was found.
Well, this is what I'm getting. They were drinking, they were laughing, they're having a good time, but something went a little awry in that situation. And I'm feeling like she then decided to maybe leave. I mean, I'm just saying what I see. And I feel her trying to like scratch the boat, whatever that boat thing was, the dinghy. Like mm-hmm. She can't get her her balance on there because the way it's slapping, she keeps saying slapping. So the water slapping in the face, the boat slapping in the face.
Right.
I don't necessarily think she got slapped in the face. She got a big old bump on her head, though, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And that maybe a couple of other bruises on her, but the one that I saw when I saw her smack her head. And can I ask you this question, though, Lana? Does the name Ed mean anything to you? Ed? Eddie? Edward?
Yes.
Okay. She keeps telling me to tell you that over and over again.
That was a close confidant?
No. It's more than that.
Felt like somebody that would know everything.
Well, she seemed to... She says it to her sister. Oh, okay. You're her sister. Okay. So she said it's... No. She said, I have to tell her that. She'll know what it means. So I'm not getting what it means.
It's the link.
Yeah.
I felt.
I will try to reach him.
Yeah. She would love you to do that if you could.
I will try.
Okay.
And did he try to stop it?
No, I don't think he was there.
Either, but he tried to stop something that was supposed to happen or something along those lines.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. She just said the name really loud. So if you could elaborate more, she just knows her sister can call him, and she would love it. Because she left without saying goodbye, and she had a lot of plans on what she was going to be doing.
Right.
I think she says that she had projects and plans. And
that's where the time date comes in. He knew everything. That's why it felt like a close confidant. But if it was a love, and if she was breaking up or something, again, I don't know.
I think she said she was thinking about, and I don't know, again, you would know more.
It's interpretation. Moving. I could be so off.
She might have been wanting to move. I don't know. That doesn't mean she was going to break up with her husband. Just boxes of things and moving. And I don't know. It's a little chaotic. And so, you know, maybe she just – she was going to be a busy lady. She wasn't just going to be sitting idle.
No, very busy, yeah.
She's mm-hmm. pissed off. Her personality is like, really? This is how it ended? Like, she's mad about it because of how smart she is and because of how funny she is. She's so upset. And she spoke to you two nights before, correct?
Yes.
And she also said that you guys got so much out at that time. Like, you knew so much. She's like, I talked to her. I was able, like, if there was a goodbye, that was it, correct?
Yes, very correct.
And she's also saying that she loves you so much and that every year you have like a vigil for her. And she's showing me how you put like either like candles or whatever it is that you have. You hold her space in memory that like whether one person's there or 1,000 people are there, you've held her space and she's there every single time. And she's also showing me that something quirky happens like in the morning of the vigil or whatever you do. She tries it because you're like, give me some sign that you're around, right?
And she said that, yes.
Yes, and she it's kind of like something smacking you up with the head, like a bee flying into you or something flying into you, like something quirky, because that's how she was, like to give you like a big sign. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense, yes.
Okay. She wants you to know that she's so grateful that you have had her back and you have dealt with so much as victim abuse, and that you have just been strong and you've never changed your story and you just want justice for her. And she is saying that is what hell is like. Like, you've had to deal with so much, and she just wants you to know how much she loves you. That's and there's wonderful. there's a picture with a car. I don't know if it's with her. That's the car thing.
It's maybe the car.
There's a car. So maybe it's a picture that you have with a car.
Yeah.
And there's something that – and there's a little – like something on the bottom. Like the bottom of the picture, there's like a signature or a year.
Ah, I would have to look.
It has to do with somebody that's involved that tried – in some way, cover it up.
Hmm. You know what? I have to say this because she's like bugging me. Not bugging me, in a good way. She's telling you about the book. And she's very picky about what photos. So I don't know if you're doing something with photos. And I mean, you know, and it's not necessarily a book on what happened to her, but a book.
A photo book.
Photos.
Right?
Yeah. Or maybe she's trying That's to show me the photos. Too. But they're actually a baby pictures of her. So do you have the baby pictures of her that are so cute?
With you.
I do.
Yeah. She loves those pictures. She likes to look at pictures before she was, you know, she was just a baby. She was a kid before she was famous. And she says if that would be fun to show, you know, that side of who she was. And then she's got like the cutest little dog with her. So I don't know if you guys.
Can I just say something? I'm still freaking out that we're talking to Natalie Wood. Sorry. I'm not over that.
Thank you, Michelle.
I'm just a little freaking out about that. Thank you, Michelle. Uh-huh. But anyway, go on.
Lana, do you have like a dog that ever looked like a poodle? Or it's not, I don't know. Yes. She keeps saying the poodle.
That I gave her. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She said, thank you. That was the best present ever.
So I have a quick question. I don't mean to digress and go back to the beginning when you guys started really tapping into her last moments of life, which is part of the controversy. When you said something about her neck, that really kind of jumped out at me. As a forensic psychic, I guess that would be...
She has red marks around her neck. And so I don't know if it's being utilized as something that was held around her neck or if she was suffocated. And I'm sorry if I'm graphic. I don't mean to be graphic. I'm trying to, just, but I can't.
It's okay.
I can't. You know how I hold back. You've told me not to
hold back.
So this part was something that just felt like it was the most significant. And there's DNA on something that deals with her skin or the neck that could have been put away. And it dealt with the person that came forward in July. Like all of those sequence of events. And there's going to be somebody else that comes forward this month. Well, November. Sorry. In November.
It's coming up.
I'm asking who's going to win the game tonight, but that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, God.
Side note.
Can I just
don't go there,
interject
Jennifer.
One moment?
I know that's so bad.
She's yelling out the name William or Bill. Could be important. Doesn't mean you have to know him, but it could be important.
That's important.
Okay.
In an investigation. Could be William, Williams, or Bill.
Okay.
And she shows me bells. I don't know, church bells ringing.
She's also saying your lower back hurts.
Oh.
Your lower back hurts and you're having hip issues, right? Or your legs?
Knee.
I'm not going to make that fit. But it stems from your back being out of alignment. You also have, like, because this is coming up, you've been feeling sick lately.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. She's saying, don't feel sick. This is just what you're feeling from everybody else. It's not you, but you feel anxious and sick because you've waited so long for this to happen. And she's saying, please, please, please. She's like, hold on. She showed me something and I have to do it justice. What'd she say? There's something like with a drink, with an umbrella.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's like giving you.
It was her favorite.
Was it? Okay. She's showing me that. And she's saying, give that to her. It's a cure all for everything. that and a sleeping pill, but I'm not going to go there. But she's saying that's amazing. So she's saying that. And she's also saying, eat the creme brulee. There's something about that too.
Oh my God.
Does that make sense to you?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you figure all that out. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And that there's something with your nail color in honor of her. Or like nails that you thought about in honor of her. Because if she keeps on bringing me back to nails and she has to show me nail color, it means there's something with DNA with nail color.
You know, it's, okay. I have to tell you. I have to tell you because, you know, you're so right. When you said the umbrella drink, she was like so happy.
But so happy.
She has a dog that you gave her. So she's I'm telling you, she is here with the dog. And she's also with, I think it's your dad or... You know, somebody that's very handsome.
Yeah. Blue eyes.
Yeah. Blue eyes. That's what I saw too.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, she's just having a good time.
Did he have blue
eyes? Laughing and joking. And she wants to send you music.
Right.
So when you hear music that reminds you of you, her, it is, she says, I send the music. It's not your imagination. Wow.
And did you wake up last night or in the morning around 3 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. She's saying she did that because you were so stressed out in your dream state. That she had to wake you up from it. And then you went back to sleep and you slept fine.
Yes, that's all correct.
Okay.
Well, she's around a lot, boy. She can really...
I'm just so excited I get to talk to her. And I'm such a dork.
I think we figured out who William was. It might be William Holden because he died right before her.
They're both
stars of Heart to Heart.
And it's linked to William.
Maybe because she kept saying William, Bill. She said, and she was yelling
was
it out.
Was she in love with William?
No.
Okay.
Just close to him. I think maybe they're together.
They're together now,
She's probably brought William with her today to be acknowledged because, you know.
Well, now they're hooking up.
They're a star. You know, he's a star. And he's so funny. He said, Rebecca, yeah, I do have my star on Hollywood Boulevard. So it's probably there, right? Both of their stars are there, right?
Sure. I wouldn't know.
And Lana, did Natalie ever have anything in the beginning to do with Disney? I don't know if she ever did any Disney films, did she?
I did Disney.
Oh, she says, tell my sister Disney.
So she's with Walt Disney too?
Was there any? I brought the movie Beauty and the Beast. Was there anything with that movie that came through earlier?
I know you had that earlier.
Did you act also or perform?
Yes.
Oh,
you danced, right?
No. I mean, in various
forms.
Shows, yes.
She was
not
an actress.
She's only in 300 shows, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. No. Natalie wants her sister to be acknowledged as a beautiful woman and also an actress.
She also said you were the
I didn't know that.
Brains behind it all, though. Mm-hmm. She said that you were the brains behind it all to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
That's well, nice. And you were I know you did. I'm not saying that in a bad way. She says that you always had her back, you were by her side, and you were navigating and you told her certain situations not to go to.
She just didn't listen.
Yeah.
You could not feel guilty or feel bad about that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. She was just talking about the film on the Queen Mary when the thing fell and they all could have been dead. Yeah. So she said to tell you, were you there when that happened or did you go on that? She doesn't want you ever to go on that ship. She told me, don't go there. Don't be curious.
Don't go on any ship.
No. Not that one. Long Beach. The Queen Mary is very haunted. And there was various other strange things that happened on that shoot.
I got freaked out there myself.
But she just, you know what? Your sister's alive and well, as Jennifer's tapping into, and I think we all are here. And she looks beautiful, and you have a multidimensional relationship with your sister. The ending wasn't so great, you know, but she's around. She loves you. She's there. She likes your house. The part with the more wood floors, or they're not carpeted area. I see
her.
She
hated how hot it got there.
Mm-hmm.
So
it got very warm. She's also saying for you that you have a lot, you're thinking about moving. Possibly.
Yes.
She's saying, you don't want to move. Ooh. You want to move, but you're holding yourself back. If you stop holding yourself back, you're going to move. And she says it'll be worthwhile. I know there's something predicated on that. She's also saying you're channeling her through a book. Like Rebecca mentioned earlier. So you're writing something, you're channeling her.
I have.
You're giving her feelings and emotions, but you put it away. And there's a three-part series because it has to do with three. Maybe not now, but just keep that in mind because you feel overwhelmed about the whole story and rightfully so, and that it should be broken up between before and then what led up to it and then after, the aftermath.
Okay.
And can I tell you something too? She says, and this is getting into the little juicy part. She says that her and Robert had karma, that they've known each other for centuries and centuries and centuries. So there's a story behind a story behind a story behind a story. And that's why they kept circling each other all the time. So, you know, if you were to look at it that way, it'd be interesting to see what, why, how, where, you know, what our karma is, what's on her script.
Yeah. I believe that.
She can stay away from that.
Well, you know, it's something to do. And she keeps bringing up Spain, but I don't know. Does that have anything to do with you? Do you want to go to Spain?
No.
It's like totally out of the context. I'm going to keep it there. Don't be surprised if something comes up about Spain.
She's always right.
So I have a question. Do you think that there was something nefarious behind this?
Yes. I don't even know what that word really means, but I'm going to
Like something sinister, nothing, you know. Or you were talking about how they were drunk and they were
partying.
I don't
feel like it was an accident.
But there was... We do know there was drinking on the ship. I mean,
Catalina. Oh, the umbrellas.
Yeah, a lot of drinking and possibly more.
I'm losing audio.
Okay, so I was saying
I'm losing audio.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to talk
about it.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm going to bring Dylan on. Hi, Dylan. Did you catch most of that? Are you still there?
Yes, I did.
So, what do you think?
I did. Well, there's some intriguing revelations on your end, and I'm sure Lana can speak to this. The William Holden situation, of course, he did die very soon after Natalie Wood, and Stephanie Power, his lover at the time, was a co-star of Robert Wagner's on Heart to Heart.
Yes.
He also mentioned somebody by the name of Ed. Now, mm-hmm. Ed Canavari is a longtime friend of Natalie Wood, who spoke out in January to declare that, or in February, I should say, that Natalie Wood's death was no accident. But the most telling thing for me was the mention of bruising around the neck. And this is critical to what is a ongoing law enforcement investigation.
Yes.
That's all I kept seeing was bruising around the neck and like rope marks.
Yeah. So police have said that they believe Natalie was unconscious before she went overboard on the night that she died. And her body was riddled with bruises, and there were indeed marks around her neck, which begs the question, how did they get there? If she was unconscious before she went overboard, how did she get overboard? Was she pushed, and by whom?
I don't feel like she was alive when she went overboard.
That's what the police...
I keep getting that she wasn't alive. And I don't even know any... You have to understand, you know this. I know nothing about this
no
case.
No research.
I wouldn't even know what to research. And I don't even know if that's public knowledge about the neck. But it doesn't even matter.
I don't believe it is.
Okay, yeah, so just... That is very significant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the X-Files, so I have a problem with all this stuff happening. I'm kidding about that, but I do remember that portion of it. But she's letting me know she did not suffer. It happened fast. And then I have to beg a question. Was it an accident? You have to go into that aspect of it. What led up to this event? It was arguing. It was fighting. And it had to do with something that dealt with a lover and had to do with something, like you said, somebody leaving. And it also has to deal with custody or rights or something along those lines. I'm not even quite sure how that works. But I'm getting – I feel that she died before she went over the – before they – she went over the boat. And the reason why is because when she was coming, and actually after Rebecca Ferring said Natalie Wood, before we even started this episode, by the way, she goes, I've just been thinking a lot about Natalie Wood.
No, I
heard her say that.
And mm-hmm. I thought about Marilyn Monroe, and they were actually at the same cemetery. Yeah. So, but that doesn't mean anything. She said Natalie Wood. And then I thought, And then I was getting, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm getting that the time of her death and the time, if it wasn't in the water, it would have been different from the story that they told.
Well, she says 3:45 a.m. in the morning.
And the 3 o'clock last night, right? What was the time with the 3 o'clock? So she's given you so many, and she's given you so many hints about certain time frames too.
Yeah, I think she's still alive at midnight. But we're getting to the 1, and then I'm getting in this weird space between 1 and 3 something in the morning, so I'm not sure. But it was definitely before dawn, but after midnight.
I think you're probably getting she fell asleep and then she woke up.
I don't know. I just she showed me 3:45, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to discount that at all.
Mm-hmm. And you're right about the relationship portion. Dylan, can you elaborate on that?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The relationship problem.
Well, I mean, Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner had married twice. It was a very complex relationship and one that was underscored by jealousy, particularly on Robert Wagner's behalf. Correct. So much so, at one point, Robert Wagner, in his own words, in his own autobiography, describes turning up to Warren Beatty's house with a loaded gun because he was so jealous of the close friendship that Natalie and Warren Beatty had. One other thing I wanted to pick up on, and this was intriguing in what you were discussing with Lana earlier. There's a lot of mystery, as we all know, surrounding this case. But a lot of the mystery has to do with the forensic evidence. Yes. And Lana has previously claimed that fingernail clipping and police reports, along with other items, disappeared at a critical point in the investigation.
It did. And there were clippings, and she keeps showing me nails. And I'm like, you've got to stop showing me nails. But she kept on saying that, and she's like, and she brought it in because I didn't believe it. She brought it into Lana. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
She just gets excited.
No, it's true. But then it was denied later when I brought it up again.
If there is DNA that is forensic evidence that would get the person that dealt with that.
Did you hear that? Somebody said, quiet. Mm-hmm. Come through the microphone just now.
I'll be quiet.
No, we don't have to be quiet, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody else
doesn't mean you be quiet. That's not what
it is. Everybody had to be quiet.
I think it was quiet. Okay.
No, that didn't have anything to do. You're the psychic.
It didn't have anything to do with you, Jennifer. I think it was quiet, like something about quiet. Like it wasn't screaming or
there was two people involved. It just wasn't him. Mm-hmm. There was two people involved.
Well, it was eerily quiet.
There was two people involved.
So I don't think anybody heard screaming. Did anybody hear any kind of screaming? It seems awfully quiet if they were fighting.
That's been brought up and then denied and then brought up and mm-hmm.
Well, the boat captain didn't hear anything and he said it got really quiet all of a sudden.
I just heard she's on the line with us.
I don't even feel like the boat captain was there. I don't feel like anybody was there.
I think they were all drunk and drugged up but that's just my
opinion. Well, they were. I mean, let's be under no illusions. Everyone on board that boat has said that they were heavily intoxicated. There had been use of Quaaludes that night. And one of the theories had been that Natalie, drunk, had seemingly tried to get off the boat after a significant argument in which RJ has admitted that he smashed the bottle. What doesn't make sense, though, is, as Lana and I have discussed ad nausea, is that Natalie had a morbid fear of water.
So no matter how frightened
or scared you were, if you had a fear of drowning, why would you try and escape boat?
She didn't.
The other thing that I wanted to mention about the fingernails is that this is 101 in how not to investigate a mysterious death. Dr. Thomas Noguchi, who was the coroner at the time,
and is the worst of all time,
failed to scrape for tissue under Natalie's fingernails.
He was paid
during
off
the postmortem. Now that's elementary. It should have been done.
He was paid off.
It's standard procedure to
do
that.
He was paid off.
And do a rape kit.
He didn't do anything.
You know what? Can I put a new twist on this a little bit? And I saw her bumper head. I saw the bruises, all that. But I'm feeling like, did anybody know if she was sleeping in a separate room than Robert? Did she go down? I don't know if there's stairs down there. And did somebody come down there where she was?
She went to bed ahead of RJ and Christopher.
That's right. She felt there, like she was sleeping.
It is stairs. Yes, steps.
Yeah, this is what she's showing me. She had to, I mean, I've never seen this before. So I'm going to, I mean, before right now, is to look down. And she's going down some steps.
Yes.
And she seems a little wobbly, but she's going to get ready for bed or go to bed or just, you know, do whatever she did. And I felt like she was, that's it. It was quiet then. They might have been rowdy and all this kind of, you know, fighting or whatever. But I think her intentions was to go to bed.
Yes.
And as she went down there, if they had investigated the boat properly, they would have seen some evidential, like, I don't know, she's talking about the proper protocol to go on and look for the forensics on the boat might not have been done properly. Mm-hmm. So there's something in her bedroom, bathroom area. It's in her bathroom that she keeps showing me.
Was there glass broken or was there a heel that was like a heel that was broken off? Do you know by chance?
Well, that's
the glass that was broken was a bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, Robert Wagner has admitted that. He smashed that.
Okay.
But she's going into her bathroom. And so what I think they forgot, I don't know if they forgot or just didn't do it, they didn't go thoroughly check her bathroom in the bedroom area.
Yeah.
It's a little room. And it was where her cosmetic case was.
Okay. And her pills.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing is, I still say that when she went, she had that... And she did have that big old kind of, was it rust-colored down jacket on when she was found
in the water? A red coat. Yeah, she had a red coat.
Yeah, kind of reddish.
That's crazy. Something. You don't know anything about what the coat and all that stuff?
No, you know, but I have to tell you something. It just happened a little bit ago. I was at a baby shower, and I said to the girl, look, I didn't know who you guys were talking about at all, okay? That was just, I saw her headstone on the Westwood.
I didn't know anything that we were doing this case. I had no idea.
I didn't know either. But listen, your sister appeared to me not long ago, about a year and a half ago. I was at a baby shower, and I was looking at this girl. I didn't know her from Adam, but she's related to my friend's daughter who married into their family. And I go, and this got us through. They go, why is Natalie Wood standing behind you? She goes, you're freaking me out, Rebecca. I played Natalie Wood.
That's right.
In a movie.
You told me this.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
She had a picture of your sister in her wallet. But this has nothing to do with her murder or the case or anything. And you know what? She was on that boat with Morgan Fairchild and your sister. And she played your sister. And I had no clue. I don't even know the girl's name really now. I forgot her name. But she appeared behind her.
Hmm.
So your sister is very adamant. Maybe she knew I was going to talk to you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that was like about a year and a half ago that happened.
Hmm.
And I didn't know. All I could see was Westwood. I looked at her headstone. It's a Natalie Wood. I'm like, bingo, it's Natalie Wood.
Is the case being reopened to November of next year? Or is there some type of court case for November of next year? Because I feel like that's when it's going to go.
There is. I have not been told. At this point in time.
So we're going to take a quick break, and Dr. Drew is going to come in, and we'll talk about the coroner situation. And also, I have MC calling in from New York. She's got like 20 minutes. I'm not sure if she'll do anything related to what we've been just talking about, but she doesn't know what we're talking about. And I just want to see where she tops in, because she has an ability – you know, just like the two of these do. And mm-hmm. I want to see if she comes up with anything else.
Yeah, so, but Natalie's talking about the pants she had on that night. So they weren't shorts. They were some kind of pants, right?
There was a heel that was broken.
Were they pajama pants or sweats or something?
That would have been before she went to bed. So I don't know what.
So what we'll do is we'll save that information,
okay.
And then we'll come back and right after this break.
Hydrolite is the best rehydration product I have ever seen. I, for quite some time, was planning to invent something like this. I just kept saying, we should be able to put a fizzy tablet in a bottle of water, and it would have enough solute, we call it, because water is not enough. You need something in it, sort of a salt-like solution, and electrolyte replacement. I think most people know that, but they don't know that most sports drinks don't provide that, and they do provide way more glucose than Hydrolite. So what you need is Hydrolite to do it better than any of the sports drinks. In fact, Hydrolite comes in great flavors, orange, berry, and lemonade. It's available in a pre-mixed drink or a powder. Of course, I like those effervescence tablets because that's what I imagined. And they're easier to cart around. And boy, you can get rehydrated right away. Just drop it in a glass of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolite delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. You understand? That's the difference. Hydrolite solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolite at Rite Aid or Hydrolite.com/Dr. Drew. Again, Hydrolite.com/DRDREW. And for a limited time, our listeners save 30% on Hydrolite. Just click through the banner on my website. Use the code DrDrew18 at checkout. That is DRDREW18 at checkout. So either go to my website and use that code, or go to Hydrolite.com/DRDREW and use the code DRDREW18.
So we're back. I'm trying to tap MCN through the Zoom, and everybody's, you know, she's texting me. I'm like, just call. So hopefully she'll chime in a second, and we'll get her on the line. You know,
did anybody said I can take this just now? It was whispered. I can take this. You need to go back over this and hear all that conversation.
There's so much there.
Yeah. She's just coming right through.
She's coming right through the microphone.
I'm hoping MC will pop up here. The problem is with the Zoom is, you know, you have to be pretty savvy to get it to work.
That kind of sounded like her. It had a very sweet voice. I can take this.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Go back and listen. You'll hear it.
There's several.
All right. I don't know what's happening here. So, come on, MC. Where are you? I know. Is she in? Okay. Hello? Hello?
Susan?
Yes. Hello, MC. Welcome. You did it. Okay, so
yay.
we've got 20 minutes with MC, and she's a clairvoyant medium from... Are you still in Staten Island?
Yeah, I'm in New York.
In New York, and she's amazing. She's been on the show many times, and you didn't hear any of this or check any of this out while we were taping it, right? Because you were busy with your students. That's how I got this 20-minute window, was in between her students we could get her. But we just had a really strong presence. I'm not going to worry that much about if you tap into the same spirit, but I'm hoping that you and Lana, hi Lana, say hi to
us,
can connect.
Hi Lana.
And
coming from a fresh perspective, see if, you know, what you feel and how and what you're getting, because I know, you know, I didn't tell you anything, so I'm going to throw you in here cold.
Yeah, I know nothing, which I prefer to come in that way anyway. I just want to ask, Lana, do I have permission to read for you?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, thank you. So the interesting thing, and I don't normally get this way before a reading, but I actually feel a lot of fear, and I don't feel that it belongs to me. I definitely feel like there's female energy that is coming forward. There's something so intriguing about her eyes. I'm very, very much drawn to her eyes.
Yes.
And it's so interesting, but she's telling me that this is before my time, a year before my time, which actually puts me, I was born in 82, which puts me at 81. Okay, 1981. She's saying yes to 81 being significant. Okay, thank you. Okay, if you hear me say thank you as well to the spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and I am being shown what seems to be here. I actually have my boating license. Not many people know that, but she's using that as a reference for me. So I do feel that I am on some sort of boat. I can actually feel the motion of this. Okay, thank you. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and I apologize if it comes through, but I will not change the way anything is brought through. I'm going to give you this, and I do apologize in advance if it's a bit sensitive. But I do know that there is absolutely foul play here. I do not feel accidental. The irony of this is that I feel I didn't mean to, oh, it's so interesting. I have this vision playing in front of me. It's so interesting, but I feel like I didn't, this wasn't intentional for her to be killed. I feel I'm struggling here. And I'm not quite balanced on my feet, which tells me that I've been drinking or I'm intoxicated in some capacity. I know that there's a fight. Thank you. Yes. You're talking about three men.
Yes.
Being involved in this. Yes. However, okay. Thank you. Do we know if she was actually hit on the head with a glass bottle?
She was hit on the head.
We're not hit on the head, yes.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and give you the fact that this I do feel is a glass bottle, because I can actually hear the glass cracking and I can feel the impact on my head. I do feel that this is quite a struggle. I do feel I'm grabbed. There are markings on my body. I am allowing her to kind of step into my body a bit. So if I speak objectively, I'm just letting her come through. I'm also very drawn to the fact that I'm in my pajamas, or what would be considered like a nightgown or yes. some kind of flowy dress of some sort. Thank you. Okay. And she keeps actually showing me, this is a familiar situation. And this gentleman, I do get the name Bobby or Robert as well, being tied into this. She's yes. telling me Bobby or Robert. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Now, okay. I do feel like this struggle leads to me being unconscious. Yeah. However, I don't feel that I actually am quite on the other side yet. I feel like there's a lot of hysteria and there's a lot of panic surrounding me, as though it appears that I've passed. But I don't feel like my soul has quite crossed over. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I do feel like she's struggling for air. She's struggling to breathe. And I hear, oh, wow. Okay. Thank you. I just heard a big splash. Okay. And I feel like it's so interesting. She's just said to me, I'm not a swimmer.
She's not.
Not a swimmer doesn't make sense. They're wrong. Yeah. Okay. And there's something fearful about the night and water with her.
Yes.
Night there. And water. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you. And would you also understand that next month would be very significant as either an anniversary? Yes. Because she's telling me I want to go after Thanksgiving. There's something very significant as far as a date. Like I need to go just past Thanksgiving for the end of the month.
Yes.
With her passing. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Okay. And she's also telling me that 2011 is very significant as well. So, okay, she's saying open 2011. It may not be 2011, but I definitely have a 20 and an 11 here. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So I do feel that he's done this to her before, but I don't feel the extent to which it's been done in the past being so severe. And I'm going to go ahead and say this because it's exactly what I'm seeing. I will not change it. This absolutely happened on water. I'm not stable. Yes. This is absolutely on the water. Okay. yeah, I definitely feel as though my body has just hit the water and I am unconscious. I do pass in the water. There's hesitancy here. There's an awareness of, okay, there's an awareness or a panic of did I kill her or did we kill her? Okay, thank you. Now, she's telling me that, okay, she's telling me to tell you in particular that there wasn't any suffering upon the water entering her lungs. It's very important for her to get that message through to you. And she's saying two girls. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's two girls. Okay, she's saying daughters.
Yes.
Okay, so that's not singular here. There's two girls that need to know that as well. Oh my gosh, okay. I have to tell you, I feel somebody also is very much cooperative in speaking truth.
Yes.
But their words for me are being shuffled around. So I feel like the words are not quite matching the story here, or what was said. Okay, thank you. And I do feel that there is somebody contacted, as though it's made out to look like an accident, or it's made out to look like this isn't what it really is. Gosh. And I just keep seeing a Captain Pat, like a ship captain. She's actually using reference of the captain from Titanic for me, as an identifier to get me to say captain.
Yes.
So I do feel like there's absolutely awareness here of these three gentlemen. Three gentlemen know exactly what happened.
Yes.
There's hesitancy. Thank you. She's giving me sirens, which is my sign for authority or police or reaching out. There is quite a big span between this happening and somebody contacting the police or a code or something to that effect.
Yes.
I don't feel that there's like a small 15-minute window here. There's not. There's hours. There's hours in between this. And she's telling me eight. The number eight.
What's number eight significant for?
I feel this is time frame here, a time span. She's saying a.m. now. So there's something significant about 8 a.m. a.m. Okay.
I think that's about the time everything.
What would that be? What would that be connected with? Rebecca's smiling. What's up?
I just heard her say, she's like coming through. And if you guys go listen to the audio, I heard her say, help her, help her. So I don't know what. All I can tell you is Natalie is, when she went downstairs to the bedroom, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. She's just like, she keeps going back down to the bedroom. And I don't know if she was, do you know when she was found, did she have her hair up in any kind of ponytail or have a hat on? When you said the captain's hat, I was wondering if she was wearing a hat, cap.
I feel more that this is actually a person that is switching words or helping. Feels guilt, she's just said.
Yeah. That's the captain of the ship. The captain.
Absolutely.
Well, you pretty much described the whole situation. Dylan, are you there?
Yes, completely. Yeah. Exactly what yes.
So, Dylan.
Well, and I have to say,
the captain's relevance to this is that Dennis DeVern is essentially the deep throat, the whistleblower who really got this case reopened by virtue of the fact that he came forward and said that Robert Wagner had forced him to tell of a version of events that was fictitious and not actually what went on during the boat. And
there's
really
money exchanged.
Yes.
There's money. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
So Dennis DeVern has admitted that in the immediate aftermath for a number of years that Robert Wagner paid him to appear as an extra on the TV show
yes.
Heart to Heart in order to effectively buy his silence.
Yeah.
And then also, what about the coroner report? What do you see about the coroner's report?
I see it being swapped or changed. Mm. It's not accurate.
No.
This is not accurate.
Not accurate.
That was Drew's phone, sorry.
I do feel, I don't know anything about this, so I haven't heard anything of your conversation previously. But I do want to say that she keeps drawing me to a small, what looks like a life raft or a lifeboat as well here.
Yes.
It's like a, kind of like a dinghy is yes. what I would call it. But
yes.
And she's saying it's not truth to story. So somehow this lifeboat connection... Okay, it's not truthful. It's not true.
That's correct. It's not. Everything you're saying is correct.
She's saying sister, my sister. Okay, thank you. Lana, would you be her sister?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Because she's saying my sister's belief is accurate.
Yes.
Accurate. I'm so sorry to be, I don't mean to cut in. I just want to give you as much as I possibly can in this short time frame.
No, that's okay. So
and she's very strong.
She is.
Yes, very strong.
Her energy is incredibly strong. And I'm actually being shown, and I don't know how this connects, but I won't change what I'm getting. She's actually showing me the woods. Like trees and a forest or woods.
Hmm, that's interesting.
That was the first dream I ever had about her.
Might have something to do with her last name as well.
Yeah.
So with what, Susan? I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I think the woods has something to do with her name.
Ah, okay. But I do want to validate the dream as well, that it was her, in fact, coming through, because she's saying it has two meanings. What she's showing me has two meanings.
What's that?
I do also feel with the woods, there's significance about coming to Lana in the dream and not being a visitation, but there's a second meaning linked into it as well. So, Susan, you said a name, so I'm going to take that as validation as well.
She was in the woods in my dream.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, wow.
The first dream I ever had after she passed.
Oh. That's
and where does the number 43?
That's how old she was when she passed?
Yes.
Isn't the dog?
I know.
Wants to get in on this act. Well, you've been pretty much spot on, MC.
Completely.
I just want to let you know we're
completely.
All kind of like dumbfounded here.
Yeah.
It's nothing new for me, but I really appreciate the fact that you went down this road. It's the person you're talking to is Natalie Wood. Do you know who she is?
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Well, that actually probably helps because she was a famous actress that drowned off the coast of Catalina, and there is a forensic case coming up, and they're trying to find the real reason of her death. But you kind of described the exact situation that we had just previously been talking about. So, Dylan, I guess I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe sometimes, but I don't question this. It's just amazing. And I want to get into the forensic end of it and what, you know, was done and what could be done. And Drew's here. He's going to probably be able to talk to you guys a little bit more about his experience.
I can just tell you that Noguchi did not – I don't mean to disparage his professional reputation, but I have had some profound disagreements with some of his assessments of many a famous case. And I've actually spoken to him about some of these things when we've been on like documentaries and stuff together. And I have been astonished on the lack of because he's a pathologist and I believe an appointed official, he has no clinical experience, none. So his pronouncement about his clinical conclusions can be very, very apart from how somebody like me, who is a clinician, would see these cases. And I will just point to one, John Belushi, whom he argued with me vehemently was not an addict.
What?
I know, it's laughable. That's what you're dealing with there.
What did he think he was?
Oh, he was just experimenting with heroin, just did the wrong thing at the wrong time. Just, you know, just somebody shot him up. And, yeah, I know. He's a part-time heroin user.
You even traced it back to Marilyn Monroe. He was the coroner in charge of that investigation.
Correct.
Is he still alive?
That's why Marilyn came through so much.
He's 91 years of age. One of my reporters spoke to him 2 weeks ago and asked him to comment on the Natalie Wood case. He said he would not comment. However, Detective Karina from the LA County Sheriff's Department has re-interviewed Noguchi, who, according to Detective Karina, has agreed that his initial autopsy of Natalie Wood was indeed flawed.
Yeah, yes. on many fronts. And that was not, you'll forgive me, not unusual. And I will point at one, Marilyn Monroe, another, particularly where their mental health and substance is involved, he's just way off in terms of his understanding what was going on.
Okay, before we go any further, I'm going to say goodbye to him. See, she's got to go back to her students. She's in between phone calls right now.
Sorry, guys. But thank you so much.
She just texted. My heart is racing. But
welcome. Thank you for allowing me to connect with your sister.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that I do feel that there will be quite a bit of difficulty in getting this connection to the Bobby name to work with. I don't feel she's showing me his lips being zippered, which is my sign for not speaking. But I do want to encourage you that I feel that there is light at the end of this. And if nothing more, you know, comes of it, just please know that she's very much at peace. You know, and it's not so much that you need to keep fighting, because she does want me to acknowledge that, you know, she's very grateful for the fight that's being put towards this, and very grateful that her memory has been brought back, is her word. So on that note, I'm going to thank you guys.
God bless. I hope you have a good day. Bye-bye. And we'll be in touch.
I would have not known what to do with that reading had I not seen MC do the same thing with Mama Cass, not knowing who she was. There's no way she knew we were talking about Mama Cass. And she did the exact same thing with her in terms of whom she was, that she was a singer, what her gravesite looks like. It's crazy stuff.
No, it's crazy. It's hard to believe, but she texted me this morning and said that she felt like she and I were on a boat together and we were sisters. And she said, take a snapshot of this because nobody's going to believe it. But anyways, even if, let's just say hypothetically, and I don't think any of the people that I work with do this, she had any information who it was, there is sort of, you'd have to listen to Dylan's entire podcast before you could get every detail, his Fatal Voyage podcast, which is amazing, by the way, and it has all the details, but, you know, nobody here except for me and Drew was I made him listen to the episode.
I don't like listening to anything Dylan does.
Yeah, so, but it was
but no, I did it anyway.
He didn't know about it. He didn't know what we were doing. He's like, he just texted me when he came and he goes, "What the hell am I doing right here?
Why am I here?"
But he listened to the part about how they reopened the case, and Nancy Grace is in this segment, and I mean, everybody has to listen to Fatal Voyage. I'm sorry, I have to give the entire name of it, but I don't have it in front of me. But
just post
it. I bet
Dylan, what's the whole name of your?
It's called Fatal Voyage: The Mysterious Death of Natalie Wood.
And it's fantastic. It's sort of a comprehensive educational podcast about her life and what happened over all that time, and then her death, and then the botched up forensics and police work that was done. And the thing that I thought was interesting with the MC is the I mean, I don't think she read Robert Wagner's book and saw and read the part where he said he broke a bottle that night. If he hit her over the head with it, that makes a lot of sense too.
Well, she did have a big bruise on her head.
You know, Lana, you can talk to this. We know that Robert Wagner has said that he smashed a bottle. He admitted that in his autobiography.
He admitted it, but at first he told police he had not.
Correct. But he said he smashed it across a table.
Right.
Now, it's obviously speculation, but police have said that she was unconscious before she went overboard.
Yes.
Put one and one together to get two. Could he have smashed a bottle over her head to render her unconscious?
That's why she passed. I don't think that's...
how she passed. There was more after that. There was a struggle, but...
No. But she could have flown overboard, and then they would have been in a panic. Like, what do we do? What happened? Where is she? And then now what do we do?
Right. All I know is from what I'm getting is that the time difference is off from when she was thrown overboard or when she was supposed to be overboard and when she passed, and that there was evidence that they did not collect, and that it had to do with, I don't think the champagne bottle hit her. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good logical thing. Like, you brought that up early on.
She had this bump in her head, but my version is a little different, because when I saw her and how she went out there,
I think she slept and woke up.
Yeah. When I saw the going down the steps into the bedroom, I'm like, was she down there and did she come back up? But I thought I saw her. I don't think My version is I don't I'm not I could be wrong. The bump on her head seemed like she fell. Bumped her head.
Right. Okay. It wasn't a champagne.
She
had a
bottle. Well, maybe she saw the bottle being broken, but she saw the bump on her head, assuming that it was she got hit in the head with the bottle.
And guess what? When you're in that stage of drinking and drugs, who knows? She probably thought the bottle did hit her head.
I don't know.
Right. There were it's sort of overlooked that how much maybe drugs and sex and rock and roll was going on that boat in the 1981, 82 era, which we all remember so well, all of us that are old enough. But, you know, and like Drew said, they never really do the forensics right when there's alcohol and drugs involved.
They routinely do. That pathologist did not do it right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did not seem to have any understanding. I mean, really grotesque lack of understanding. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't put the pieces together because he didn't understand the clinical implications.
He also didn't want to believe it either.
I didn't want to believe it.
Right. No one wanted to believe it.
For a long time.
Right. And so when you don't want to believe something, the universe lets you think that. Yeah.
But if you frame it in a less ominous way, it's bunch of using alcoholics,
right.
accidents.
We would all love to think that.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
But then you go back to the
boats,
neck.
Boats,
the only
water,
thing that keeps
alcohol.
Coming to me
the
is
neck
the neck.
And the bruises.
The neck and the
everywhere.
Bruises kept on coming to me, and that's the only thing that's differentiated with just recreational drugs and alcohol.
Oh, no, there was some – but no, don't get
There's
me wrong.
Abuse.
When people are drunk, they engage in all kinds of
violent, horrible
things.
Right, but this is – yes.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying from her perspective
and
of just going overboard
and
being drunk.
A really good pathologist – Dylan, this might be a thing for you – people do get profound ecchymosis when they drown.
Can you explain ecchymosis, please?
Bruising all over the place. It's sort of an end of life thing they get.
And where their body's placed. That's correct.
But it's that's different. That's
well,
the,
she
that's
might
the,
have been banged
the,
up inside the boat the, too when she was
no,
in the water.
It was rubber boat. It doesn't hurt to bang against rubber.
No, yeah. But the head, the bruising on the head wasn't. I agree that people do get bruises. I know that for a fact too, but not the head. The head was a big.
Oh no! You know, I think
the head was different.
Apparently, she had an uppercut to her chin too.
Yeah, it looked like she fell.
Or got hit.
That could have been
whatever.
Going over the side and hitting her head because she was unconscious.
She also had a bruise directly on her throat.
And none of it, and this is
which
a
is
key
hard
thing.
To get
people
in
want to blame the victim in situations like this. Like, no, just because they were drinking and using it on a boat doesn't make it she's
okay
she's
to be thrown off the
or
side.
Or that she's responsible for this. Yeah. It's just that horrible stuff can go down.
I keep getting that she died, though, before she went off the boat.
Yes.
Well, according to Nancy Gray, who's a colleague of ours at CNN, she said that the fact that her bladder was full when she went into the water showed that she was already gone. Because usually if you're drowning, you lose the contents of your bladder. And I don't know. Drew can probably –
Again, I think you need a really good medical examiner to talk about it because what substance you're using can figure into that too.
Yeah.
So a really good medical examiner should be able to
– did she have sleeping pills or
– maybe that's why.
But if you look at the coroner's report – at the drugs found in her system, a sleeping pill.
Okay. Because I keep getting that and I keep getting the
take a sleeping pill every night.
Okay.
Always.
So when she said, when Rebecca Fearing mentioned the bathroom, going out, she visually went downstairs, I saw the medicine kit and then I saw the sleeping pill that she mentioned. And so I felt like that was them justifying whatever it was that happened.
Okay.
So just so that everybody knows, there was an amazing array of prescription drugs that were aboard the yacht that night. These included Darvon, an addictive narcotic painkiller, Placidil and Dalmain, both which are sleeping pills.
Well, Placidil,
Valium, the tranquilizer.
Whoa. So Placidil is a barbiturate, old-fashioned barbiturate.
Very old,
The Doridan,
I don't know any of this.
They used to call it doors and fours. Were there any Tylenol number fours in there?
So there was also Valium, the tranquilizer, Mathohydrin, a diuretic.
Wow.
In addition to that, I can tell you that the coroner's office didn't test her body for all the drugs they found. They tested for PCD, the powerful animal tranquilizer known as angel dust, but didn't find it.
Is that like amitriptyline?
No.
PCP.
PCP.
I don't know what that is. Okay. That's actually, I'm really happy I don't know any of those things.
Well, we're going to probably believe that there were some drugs involved on this.
Natalie did not do recreational drugs. She really
Listen, it's the same. Never underestimate what doctors do to people with these kinds of pills. Yeah. The opiate epidemic we're into is by my peers.
Yeah. Well, I lost my daughter.
And then you mix with the
back. Yeah, it's all physician-driven. Yeah. And back then, especially, they had no idea what they were doing with these medications.
Do you have a ring of your daughter's?
Yes.
Yes. And it has – did you get it cleaned recently? Or are you thinking about getting it cleaned? Okay.
That was the ring.
She's also showing me that you were thinking about putting it on a necklace as well.
That makes sense.
Because Natalie kept our father's ring on
a necklace. Okay. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's something that you do with yellow roses for your daughter?
Yes.
Okay. And then she's also showing me that you guys love the movies together.
Oh, really?
You love, like, watching movies in your pajamas, eating popcorn, like the Jiffy Pop, right?
Yep.
And you order a pizza.
Yeah.
And she's saying that you let her drive before she could drive?
Yep.
Okay. And she's saying thank you for that?
She's calling you out now, Mom.
I know.
She's also saying that you did everything you could to keep her here.
I tried.
Without losing her. Because you had to make a choice between letting her go with hard love. Right? And she's saying, please know how much I love you. Please know how much I celebrate you. And she's showing me Tinkerbell.
Twinkie.
There's something with Tinkerbell. Maybe that's the whole Disney factor too as well. But she's showing me Tinkerbell. And she's also sharing with me that you can hear her and that your dreams are prolific, but you've only had three recently. That you remember. But she's there all the time to walk you with your hand because you used to always hold her hand.
Yep.
Right. And you would make her say things like before she went to school, you would make her say things like, keep your promises or some type of like, I don't know what they would call it. What is it called when you like a, not a chanting, like
mantra.
Thank you. A mantra. You would look at her saying, keep all your promises, know how much you're loved. You would make her say certain things that she didn't want to say, but she did.
That's her. That's the way she was, yes.
Okay. And she said she was a pain in your side. She's showing me that most you get pains are. In your side. I know. But my daughter isn't. It's my son.
Oh.
She's also saying happy anniversary. There's an anniversary.
Oh, yeah, well.
I don't mean to say it's happy. But she's saying, she's saying make it more nostalgic instead of being so sad over it, turning it into nostalgia for the memories. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but I don't think we're able to do that yet.
Okay. Aww. Okay. She's giving you a kiss. She's not leaving, but she's giving you a kiss on your forehead. And she's saying thanks for being tough on her. That made her the person that she was.
Okay.
Wow.
That's tough.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. She obviously wanted to talk to you. They were fighting for attention, and they both had like the same ways that they saw things.
Yes.
Both yours, they were the same. So you never felt like your daughter was going to stay there.
And so I sent my gift to Natalie. Her last birthday was Evan. I said, please take her. And I was hoping the two could be together.
They are. They're kicking it.
Yeah, I think I was picking up on your daughter from the very beginning with the jewelry and the ring, but I didn't know you had a daughter that passed.
I didn't either.
No.
Yeah, so that might have been Natalie and your daughter, just to tell you right now, they're 100% together.
Swimming.
And they're not, they don't want to tell you they're having too much fun because, you know, it would make you sad.
Look what happened the last time.
Yeah. And they're just having, you know, your daughter's going to do something with Natalie that it's shocking to you, and you'll be like, there'll be no doubt in your mind that they're together. Wow. 100%.
Good. Good.
Well, I hope this helps your journey, you know, to better days. I mean, this is very torturous having to have dealt with this for, you know, your life, it's been, you know.
I wish I actually fought for Natalie sooner. Yeah. But
you didn't want to believe that.
To me that
right.
I didn't want to accept it.
She doesn't blame you at all.
Well, the other controversy was whether or not it was premeditated, which is like,
oh no, I've never believed it.
I think it was.
And she tells me there's a lot of passion. Even though there's a lot of drugs, she keeps saying we were drinking. At one point, they were having a good time.
Yeah,
I don't know when it turned ugly.
Well, and the substances, again, remember, they didn't think of them as using drugs back then. They're just my medication.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't realize the additive effect with alcohol. They had no idea. Even just the Seasick medication with alcohol is a big problem. You know, they did not think about it that way then.
Crazy. You can't mix the benzos with the
with
opiates.
Anything. With anything.
That's a killer too, but Dr. Drew, right?
Yeah.
But Dylan, do you have any final words in this?
Well, I'd like to hear.
No, I mean the great unanswered question is where to from here. Police continue to classify this as an active investigation. They have formally gone on the record to say that they believe foul play took place. Robert Wagner has been asked to submit to police questions on no less than 8 occasions in the last couple of years. Yeah. He has refused. My understanding is that homicide detectives either have in the last few weeks or will in the next few weeks attempt to ask him questions for a 9th time. Where does this case go from here?
It's ultimately up to the district
attorney to decide if they will take this case on before a grand jury in an attempt to indict Robert Wagner.
Is there a possibility?
I don't think any prosecutor would take the case on because it is too circumstantial, but at the same time, I think most people, if you would do a straw poll in the street, would say that they believe that there is something nefarious about this.
Somebody has the fingernails locked up, the fingernail clippings locked up, and that's what's going to get them.
Yes.
That is going to. That is what I keep getting, and also it's the underlying thread in the sweater that they're afraid because of this person that has dealt with a lot of high profile cases. If you take that thread and you start unraveling it, the whole sweater's going to unravel, and there's going to be a lot more things implicated. So they are so afraid of that happening. But somebody has those clippings in a safe that's going to link it.
Let me ask you a question, though. We've talked about Robert Wagner, and they were fighting. But what happened to Christopher Walken? There's something to that, you guys. Mm. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's saying what. Why is he not a suspect?
He has spoken to the police.
She wanted to leave for him.
Everyone's admission at the time, the minute the fight became violent, Christopher excused himself, went into his room, shut the door, and never exited again.
He was passed out. He took too many Quaaludes.
Yeah.
Really, you think?
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Mm. He actually passed out.
I don't know. I mean,
and he was hypoglycemic.
What maybe else is going on, Rebecca? What do you see?
I don't think he's telling the whole story.
I think he knows about the aftermath. I agree with you.
There's more to this story. The good news here is your sister's alive and well. I can tell you that 100%. But there's something there they've missed with him. I mean, I'm just telling you, there's something
timing.
There. The boat wasn't
the
that
timing.
Huge
right.
that you can't hear
Not
what's
hear
going
what's
on.
Going on.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the timing.
I just say in there, I'd have to think about it a little more because when I work on crime cases, I don't just point the finger. I look for all the evidence that I can find to match it up, right? It's like a
You're
puzzle.
You're amazing. It's always like, it's charades.
Yeah, so we've
got to
do, I'm looking at Natalie and she's easy to talk to. She's easy to look at, but I'm looking at that guy. Sorry, but I have to look at all parties on the boat. And nobody really is looking at him mm-hmm. the way I'm looking at him.
They protected him.
Right. And so there's something. I'm not saying they protected him, but I just want more. I want more. I want to look more at him. That's all.
Right.
According to the captain, he heard a fight going on between Natalie and Robert Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Wagner went downstairs into their stateroom.
Oh, you said.
They then took the fight out on the deck. Dennis had gone to the door and asked if he could do anything.
They were programmed
Robert
to say
Wagner
that, though.
Opened the door and said, you know, go away. He went around and went on to the back of the deck and saw only Robert Wagner standing there. And he said, where's Natalie? Robert Wagner's response was, she's gone. He would not allow him to turn on searchlights.
No, he didn't.
Or call anyone. Yeah. To report for missing.
Yeah, no, he didn't. And that is that I tell you right now, as a psychic, that is 100% true. He didn't go to look for her. So, but like when we're working on crime, I'm not saying he done it or he didn't done it. You know what I mean? I'm looking at every person on there with a fine tooth comb. Mm-hmm. Where were they? What did they hear? Are they lying? Right. And I get very detailed, like that going down the stairs to her bedroom, bathroom area.
Absolutely.
Like I went to look, did she change? I mean, she looked like she was wearing pants at one point. And it's very, she takes me into her bathroom. Go into the bathroom, she says. So I say, okay, I'll go look in the bathroom. So for me, if we're trying to really nail this, and if you're going to take this to the next level of, again, criminal investigation, and then going to take it to this level of finding out, you know, who's responsible and taking care of it. But there's still some, I have to be honest, there's a little bit too many holes here too to get it to where it needs
to
go.
Well, when you start saying that, I'm getting him from behind. I'm getting somebody from behind and that's where I'm getting the neck.
Yeah, and I always go back to the on the head.
See, and I don't ever see that.
And the bathroom, down at the bathroom. But your sister is telling me all kinds of names. She just, it's important for her to also reach out to all the people that she knows that are still alive. Everybody. She just seems so, you know.
And did you get a new dog?
Social.
Are you thinking about getting a new dog?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah.
I've got
a dog anyone can have if you want.
I know, I have a couple too.
Like, she's excited about new life. She's like, she needs to get a new dog.
She says also the name, and I might give you names that you might know who they are yet, okay? But I'm going to give you also the name of Emily. Please keep that in mind. It's going to mean something important to you.
Okay.
And she says you don't know her yet, but it'll make sense. So I like Natalie to give, you know, like, things to you that you don't know, because when they happen, then you'll have proof. Your daughter has the prettiest hair. So I have no idea if she grew it longer now, but she's like, tell my mom my hair looks so good. So I'm telling you, there's a...
They have cheap manicures in heaven, so Natalie...
They have manis and pedis, and they have food and beaches. And I will tell you, they have treatment centers, and they make them go to school. So, you know what? I mean, you just don't go there, and it's a poof of like, ooh, I'm going to lay on the beach in my bikini.
Oh, God. I can't wait.
There's work to do, too, there.
So Michelle is here. She literally, like...
Thank you, Michelle.
Orchestrated. Pull the microphone over to your face, Michelle.
Hello.
Hi. Tell them your passion for this and how you developed this.
Well, Lana and I have only texted, so we haven't... We haven't spoken in person. What she doesn't know is that so I'm 52 and I was 15 when Natalie died. Wow. And I had a shitty childhood. So, I wanted to be Jonathan and Jennifer Hart's daughter. That was that I wanted to live this ideal life with this hot mystery solving couple. Anyway, so, as a kid, I was really, really into all of you guys. You know, it was RJ and Stephanie, and then it was Natalie and you and William, the whole crowd. I followed you like my teen idols. And I've actually met both of them on a few occasions, but when Natalie drowned, I was just, I was heartbroken. She was my favorite, movie actress at the time, and I was just really crushed by it. And so, So I bought your book when it came out. I worked at Walden Books. I think I texted you that at one point. I bought the book, and I thought one day I'll get it autographed. And so I'm going to have to take you to lunch, Lana, so you can personalize.
I want to go.
My first edition book that I bought, because I ate up every bit of information. I just anytime any of you guys were on a show, I was a nerd. I read the TV guide and I highlighted shit that I wanted to watch that week. I mean, you're going to think I'm a freak. I was probably then, but less of one now.
That's so sweet. But now you were just sitting over there, like with your eyes like saucers.
Right, because when they would say things, I would know what they were referring to. When they said 43, I knew when they said 81. I knew when, I knew the whole.
Right.
I followed the case as a kid, like obsessively. I mean, I was really, really into it,
Well, and thank you so much for producing this show.
Thank you, Michelle.
Absolutely.
I asked her to help
me
out.
Can Lana see all of you guys? Can you see
us?
Oh,
yes.
I just want to pop in so I can say hello.
Get in, yeah. Right. You can come over here where Drew was, because he left. He's got a phone call. But, yeah, this is Michelle.
There you are.
Yeah, so we're all big fans. And, Dylan, I got to tell you, great podcast.
I want to tell you something really quickly.
We have like five more minutes.
Let me just tell her. You know how the other, I forgot her name again.
MC.
MC got, she said she had the dream.
Yes.
Look on your phone, Susan. What did I text you?
When?
By accident. Westwood.
What? Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you something. That went on your phone. Uh-huh. That was way earlier than I came here.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you another little thing. Your sister wanted to talk to you so bad that she's come to everybody prior, to the dream. And
she came to my house. Somebody did. I don't know who it was.
Well, I want to tell you something. That I had to go to Beverly Hills to go to brunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told Sherman in the car, this is 100% the truth. Take me to the cemetery where Marilyn Monroe is buried. I want to take a picture of Natalie Wood's headstone.
Oh, wow.
And we were going to be late. Yeah. Okay.
Can you do it?
So I couldn't because we were going to be late. But that Westwood got on your phone a long time, just today, okay? So between the two of us,
I gotta
and
say
the three of us.
I got to say something else. Mm-hmm. Below Deck also had our showing two days ago.
Oh, it did?
And so everybody's like, are you going to go on another boat? I'm like, no. but it just
Don't
aired.
Even get me started.
I know. I know.
We're lucky we didn't die on that boat, okay?
I'm the only one feeling.
They tried, Rebecca.
They tried to kill us. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
with
but then they wanted you back. They're like, please, Rebecca, please come
never.
Back.
And they wanted
and Rebecca,
money.
You everything.
Like uh-huh. Oh, look at the puppy.
Oh, my God. Look
look at that.
Well, I want to thank everybody, especially Dylan. If you want to listen to the whole podcast, go on to iTunes and find Fatal Voyage. And it's, you know, the mysterious death of Natalie Wood. I think that's what it says. And also, thanks again, Dylan. We really appreciate this.
The input. Thank you.
Of course. Very illuminating. And Lana is always, it breaks my heart to think that, you know, I've lost close ones to me. I've never lost my only sibling, a brother. And Lana's had to carry this with her for almost four decades. And she needs closure and she needs answers.
Yeah, we weren't aiming to, you know, solve a case or cause any harm or say he did it, she did it, because we don't know. But we did want to help Lana with this.
Is there something with the star necklace?
And you have.
Is there something with the star necklace?
Natalie gave me a butterfly with a little...
I'm not going to make that fit. Okay.
You know what? Did she say... but you know what, Jennifer, I have to tell you, she's showing me a piece of jewelry that said, I love you, Lana, or something with a name on it. So
yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
All right.
Yeah. Hey, your sister's something else, but now she's taking me to the kitchen. She says she likes to bake in heaven. So I don't know. She's baking in this lifetime.
That's heaven.
That's heaven.
She loves to bake.
Yeah, she likes to bake. She's coming, you guys. I just have to say that. She comes for you, and she brings me this most yummy, yummy cake. And it has, you know, when we were kids and they had that pink frosting? I don't even know what it was. She just told me to tell you, I'm baking in heaven. I'm okay, you guys. I love you for doing this. My main concern, though, for my sister was to know I'm alive. I'm low. I'm alive. She says she's in love. So I don't know in heaven. Huh?
Maybe it's the other guy. What was it? William Holden.
And she also says to the name Sally. So keep that in mind too.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks again, Dylan.
Great meeting
you.
Cheers, guys.
Dylan, where else? Yeah, you are so welcome. Thanks for going through this process. Dylan, where can we find you other than your fantastic podcast, which I want everybody to go subscribe to right now?
You can also listen to my other weekly podcast, which is All Rise, which tackles true crime cases and all the very latest in tabloid and entertainment and legal news.
Oh yes, we have to listen to that. Maybe that'll be the next episode of Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. And also, I want to thank my husband for chiming in. He's been a doll today. And then also, Lana, thanks again. I hope we'll be in touch. I don't want to lose touch.
No. We mustn't.
And Rebecca Fearing, you can find her at RebeccaFearing.com and on my cast of Clairvoyance. And last but not least, by far, who just was a shining light today, was my dear Jennifer Schaefer, who is good at forensic psychic work and has shown her abilities just beyond. And I love the way you guys work together. There was no catfighting. There's no bitchy going back
with Rebecca.
And that's what's important. We need to.
Yeah, we work as a good team, all of us.
You
never know.
When Rebecca talks, I listen. I'm like,
no, Jennifer's got it too. And also MC, we work as a team.
Yeah, and MC made a cameo. I just wanted to bring a fresh perspective just to see, because you never know what.
Eyes on the unseen. Scene is better.
It's fun. And I really enjoy doing this show. And I hope everybody has a happy Halloween. And
it's wonderful.
Also, I'll let you go now. I'll just quit talking. So see you later.
All my love to all of you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Follow Susan on Twitter or Instagram at First Lady of Love. And check callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com for all the latest info and links to our cast of clairvoyance.